think we can get ready for puja. Those who are offering, you can come forward. Then get ready the puja. Okay, maybe we will do this. We will pay respect to Triple Gem first. Then we will start the puja. Okay, compose your mind. Develop the sadha virya. Then we will pay respect to the Triple Gem. Okay. Bedang pejayami. Damang pejayami. Sanghang pejayami. Okay, now we can stand up. Then we can make the offering. Okay. Start with the three. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 Learn how to rejoice with all the wholesomeness. Inside your heart, you should rejoice. Because all Kayamita participate in this offering. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. When you rejoice, your heart open up. Then there is a lot of happiness. And it's also very wholesome. One of the meritorious actions. So it's a very, very important cultivation. Learn to rejoice in wholesomeness wherever you see them, wherever you observe them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let's see and bring back. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Pak Masri, you can go ahead. Oh, so yeah. Okay. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 Okay, thank you so much. You can sit. Then we will do the chanting. Turn to your chanting book, page 4. We will now start the vandana. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. 那么达斯巴嘎瓦多阿拉哈多萨玛萨布达斯布达昂萨拉南嘎恰米达玛昂萨拉南嘎恰米萨昂哈昂萨拉南嘎恰米迪提昂比布达昂萨拉南嘎恰米Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Bhaktiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchamiปานาติปาตาเวรมณีสิกขาปะฏังสมาทิยามิอาทินาทานาเวรมณีสิกขาปะฏังสมาทิยามิกามิสุมิจฉาจาราเวรมณีสิกขาปะฏังสมาทิยามิมุสาวาทาเวรมณีสิกขาปะฏังสมาทิยามิสุราเมรัยมัจจาปมาทัฏฐานะเวรมณีสิกขาปะฏังสมาทิยามิ Okay, now we shall offer the puja for offering of light. ปฏิบัติ puja.กันนาสารปาดิเตนะดิเปนะธรรมดังเสนะติโลกะดิปังสัมบุตดังปุจยามิตโมโนดังกันดาสัมบารายเตนะโดเปนะหังสุกังเฮนะปุจเยปุจานิยังตังปูจาปัจจามุตตมังวันนากันดาโกโนเปตังเอตังกสุมมาสันทตินปูจยามิโมดินดาสสิริปาดาสารโรเหปูเจมิบดังกสุเมนาเนนาปูเนนาเตนะเจโหตุโมคังปูปังมิลายะทิยัตตังอิดังเมกายโยตถายะทิวินาสบาวังอาหิเบยสิตุโนบันเตปานิยังปริคาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปฏิกังหอนตุมุตตมัง Now you turn to the last page, page 18. We will recite the aspiration to invoke the understanding of our offering and to invoke the aspiration together. So we will chant this concise puja and aspiration together.Offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma.That cools and dulls off the fire of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we had offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits.May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. significance of offerings of flower. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation and the bond-free nibbana. Overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of this offering, may our spiritual faculties of sada, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be strengthened until they become balas or powers. The final one is to develop the sharing and transference of all these merits that we have developed. By these merits, may these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we shall now go on to the official invocation of the devas. Okay, where is the other cordless mic? We have to pass. Oh, it's with Engvi already. Okay, Engvi, can you lead? Yeah.
Devaradana.
Okay.
Samantha.
Svanam kalo ayam bandhata Dhamma sabanam kalo ayam bandhata Dhamma nabanam kalo ayam bandhata. Okay. We will now chant the Vandana. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Ittipiso bhagava arahaṃ sammā sambuddho vicca carana sampanno sugato lokavidu anuttaro purisa dhamma sārati satta deva manusana buddho bhagava Suakato bhagavata dhammo sandittiko akaliko ehi paseko opanayiko pacatang veditat bhuino hiti. Supatipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Ujupatipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Nyayapatipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Samichi patipanno bhagavato sauka sango Yadidang chattari purisa yukkani Atta purisa pugala Hesa bhagavato sauka sango Ahuniyo, pahuniyo, dakiniyo, anjalikaraniyo, anuttarang punyang kitang lokasati. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay homage to Lord Buddha, then we will start. Buddhang pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Okay, thank you so much. Yeah. Request her, you pass to her, Yeah. Ah, okay. Can. Sadhu. Thanks. Sadhu. Can. Sadhu. I rejoice. Okay. Tonight there is a note. Dhammapada verse 153 and 154. We will go through this later. Okay. Yeah. You just make sure you get a copy. So now we can start our meditation. Anybody who is totally first time here, new, totally new, first time here, or two, you all meditate before, or never? You know the Dhamma. You have been to SGBA, Subang Jaya Buddha. Oh, you are totally new. No exposure to any Buddhist teaching. Any exposure to Buddhist teaching? No, you haven't heard of the teaching of the Buddha. The teachings of the Buddha is called the Dhamma. Dhamma are actually nature's truth. All of nature's truth. They are called the Buddha Dhamma. So the Buddha actually shared with the living beings and the monk at that time all of nature's truth, so that you can understand clearly how this universe operates. Our world, our universe, they are governed by a set of nature's law. And this nature's law are the one that will operate on its own without a creator. But these are nature's boundary condition that's already set. And all of them are impersonal. They just follow that law. And because of that, they can actually govern all of life and existence. So when we talk about truth, all religion, they try to monopolize truth. But the reality is, truth is, means you cannot monopolize truth. Truth is just the reality. Whatever that can explain the way things are, that is the truth. The others are not really true. That's why there is a lot of what they call description of truth. Different religions claim to have different truth, and sometimes they are also conflicting. But when we are talking about truth, we don't try to own or possess those truth. Like the Buddha said, this Dhamma are there in existence even before he arise. Then when he meditate, and when he penetrated all this truth and reality, he became enlightened. And because of his cultivation, his perfection, the enlightenment make him the Sammasambuddha, means he he is the fully enlightened one. Not only enlightened, complete in enlightenment. That's why he can understand all of truth. So because of that, we are very fortunate that we have his teaching still around. That's why they call it the Buddha Sasana, means the dispensation of the teaching is still around. It's supposed to last about 4,500 years. The original intent was 5,000 years, but because according to Lord Buddha at that time, he agreed to admit the Bhikkhuni order, where you have the nunnery and all things. Then through his perfection of wisdom, he checked. He realized that the sasana will be shortened by 500 years if he admit the Bhikkhuni order. That's why initially he was reluctant, but finally, because of certain condition, mainly because I think the mother sister who look after him make the request, and there were other conditions that he finally consented. So we already 2,600 years, maybe another 1,900 to 2,000 years to go, unless condition change again. So we are very fortunate to have this birth within this era, so that the sasana is still around. So we should all rejoice with all good blessings and timing. So what we do here is, for those who are new, I will try to explain a little bit afterwards, before we start the meditation. Then you try your very best to develop understanding. If you cannot, you just silence your mind, relax, and just maintain whatever inner peace that you can develop. We will start with meditation. Then after that, I will ring the bell 3 times. That is normally about maybe 40 or 45 minutes from now. Then we will start our second session at about 9:15 or 9:30. Then after that, we will have this, what they call Q&A, and Dharma sharing. Q&A is question and answer. You can report your meditation, ask any question that is related to the meditation or the teaching, and also how you can apply what you have learned here and the teaching to help you understand more clearly. So that is about what we do here. And we call this meditation Vipassana. Vipassana is a type of meditation that you develop the training of the mind to insight into phenomena, to insight into the 3 universal characteristics of nature, namely impermanent, suffering state, and non-self, or in Pali is called anicchang dukkang anattam. The moment you penetrate these 3 universal characteristics, you will understand that all of phenomena within this universe, they exhibit the same. Then that will give you great wisdom not to deludedly cling, hold, and attach to all this. Then you will start to understand many, many things. That's how it can trigger off enlightenment in the here and the now. So this type of meditation has many advantages. First, it brings about inner peace. The normal human mind that is not trained actually think a lot, very restless, and have a lot of problems. So the Buddha said the reason why normal human being who has not trained their mind has a lot of this problem is because there are 5 mental hindrances. These hindrances are very, very real. So you look at the whiteboard up here. The first set of essential Dhamma that the Buddha taught is the 5 mental hindrances. In Pali is called Pancha Nivaranas. So they are sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind, and doubt. Sloth and torpor is sleepiness, lethargic mind. Sensual desire is like, every time you see something, hear something or perceive something, you react to what you see. Pleasant sense experience, then you develop craving for it, desire for it. That's why it becomes positive craving, sensual desire. Then if it's negative, you develop aversion towards it, dislike towards it. That's why your pleasant and unpleasant sense experience are your negative reaction. So these two are hindrance because it hinders your mind from becoming peaceful, understand? The moment you exhibit either of this duality or reaction, your mind is already not peaceful. Why? We have explained before that your mind, when it's preoccupied with that sense experience, whether positive or negative, what happens? You are already lost in thought, understand? Preoccupied with that sense experience, understand? Reacting to it, becoming happy or unhappy over it, understand? If you do that so often until it becomes a habit, they call it habitual tendency, then throughout the day, as you go through life, every time you come to perceive something, either through your seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile or thought, you always oscillate between positive and negative. So these two keep on arising. And since they are hindrance, they hinder your mind from becoming peaceful, from entering the meditative states of inner awareness and silence, then how can you have peace? How can you meditate? That's why when you understand this, then you know how to attend to your mind, so that you know how to actually train it in the opposite way, so that this hindrance all cease to be. Then you can develop what they call the opposite five. The Buddha called it the spiritual faculties. These are mental states within your mind that can bring about spiritual understanding. That's why it's called the spiritual faculty, not only mental. These are spiritual faculties. And this one can also help you in your career, in your study, in whatever you do in life. Because when you have these five spiritual faculties, they will automatically overcome the hindrance. So this hindrance, you don't have to fight, understand? You don't have to do anything to it. You don't have to control, suppress, or fight it. You just have to understand that they are there because these five spiritual faculties are not there. Then regarding the fourth hindrance, I haven't explained. Restlessness of mind. Your mind becomes restless. Lack of peace. A lot of fear, worry, anxiety. Then you got this, what they call insecurity in you. This phobia in you. Then sometimes you become so depressed and so unhappy. This mind state become very, very negative. So this is a very serious hindrance. Human beings got a lot of this problem, got a lot of this hindrance. When this hindrance manifests, chances are you have big problem. Can even go into depression with suicidal tendency. Your mind become restless is mainly because you have problem in life. When problem arise, you have fear, you have worry, you have insecurity. That's why all these will trigger off and make you restless. Sometimes you panic, you worry, you have a lot of anxiety. So this type of mind is never peaceful. And what are the problems that come with life that can make you so bad? Can trigger off such serious hindrance. The most common one is health problem. You heard of health problem. Cancer, all these things. Even stroke, heart attack, or whatever. Then the next one is financial problem, which is also a major serious, what they call life problem, that can lead to a lot of suffering. Then the other one is relationship problem. When you have relationship problem between spouse, loved one, brother, sister, parents and children, good friends and all those things. Then apart from relationship, you also have other type of problem. Like when you come out to work, you got career problem, understand? Yeah. Then you got a lot of other what they call life related problems. Life related problem is many, even children, when they go to school, sometimes they got problem with the teachers, sometimes they got problem with the bullies, the gangster, and people who are not so friendly when they are with people whom they don't like, you know. So all this can trigger off. Then you make mistake, you commit CBT, end up police case or what, drugs and all those things, or you cause bodily harm or kill or murder somebody, then it can become serious problem. That's why this hindrance is very serious. So we need to understand this essential Dhamma and need to know how we can overcome them. So the only way to overcome them is, the Buddha said, develop this opposite five spiritual faculty so that you understand the nature's law that governs life and existence, means the spiritual law. Then from there, you know how to unwind your problem. You will understand the secret of life, all of nature's law that governs life and existence. Then you know how to live in accordance to this law, and then you will not make mistake. Then you will have no more problem. Actually, this hindrance come about because you fail to understand the nature's law that governs life and existence, mainly the law of karma. When you violate them karmically, very negative, it will hit back at you, and you like very, very unlucky. Everything like never go right. Everything like sort of always go wrong. Yeah. Then you say, why is life like that? Why is God so unfair? It's nothing to do with God. It's all because of what you did in your past and this life. So all this you will develop understanding later on. Then when it comes to five spiritual faculty, I have to quickly run through because we need to meditate. Sadha is faith. Faith in the Buddha and his teaching, through understanding who he is and how wonderful his teaching is. This one you have to read out on your own. Faith under normal mundane situation, which is non-spiritual, also very important. When you have faith in yourself, when you have self-confidence, you tend to have a more calm and composed mind and you will do better. When you are not confident, your mind is very weak. Virya is a spiritual zeal. Under the spiritual sense, this spiritual faculty is, after you understand who the Buddha is and how important the teaching is, it will drive you with a type of spiritual energy to walk this way, to learn this teaching. Whereas for mundane situation, this is what you call passion. When you have passion or love for certain type of what they call things, like sports or music or study or whatever field that you like, you develop the passion, you become very successful, understand? When you understand the importance and you have passion and you really want to develop it, you will become very successful. So this is a spiritual faculty that can do the same as far as spiritual understanding is concerned. Then sati is a new word. Sati is mindfulness. Mind in fullness without thought. That's why when you pay respect, body and mind move as one without thought. There is mindfulness. Then when you walk, your body and mind move as one without thought. There is mindfulness. But it's very difficult for new people to develop that ability where you think a lot. The moment you think, you are no longer mindful. You are already lost in thought. That's why when the hindrance of mind arise, you completely heedless and lost in thought. You got no chance. So this one you need to meditate, to train. And I will teach you some skillful means to develop this. This is the most important. These two you can reflect and contemplate on who the Buddha is and how special his teaching is and how wise he is. Then you can develop the second one. But the third one you need to train. First you need to decondition the heedless thinking, the hindrance. So I will teach you a simple mind sweeping method to sweep through. So that you feel, then you relax, you don't think. It will reverse your heedless thinking. Then you become more peaceful. Then you settle down into a state that is quite close to the silent mind, quiet mind. You are more peaceful. You you don't think so rampantly like before. And when you hit this, then I will teach you how to stabilize it. Yeah. The Buddha taught a skillful mean, anapanasati, mindfulness of breathing in and out. I will teach you with the instruction. Then when you develop this sati and stabilize it, samadhi you will follow. Samadhi is a silent mind that is collected and unwavering. So that next time, when you have samadhi, when you come out into daily life, when you see things, hear things, smell, taste, tactile, feel or things, your mind doesn't waver anymore. This will allow you to see things as they are, because your mind doesn't stir anymore. Then you will understand clearly what happened, how you become like that, how you entangle yourself through delusion and develop the hindrance, the evil root that condition you into negativity. All this you will understand. Then, because you have these two, sati and samadhi, wisdom, the last spiritual faculty, will arise. It will continue to arise. So this is how you cultivate. Okay? So now we can start the meditation. Can we off the light? Then for those who already know how to meditate, you can start straight away. For those who are new and need instruction, you just listen. You make sure you have a stable posture. Relax body and mind, and make sure your backbone is straight. Then just breathe in, breathe out normally. Relax here means don't think of anything, don't hold on to anything. Feel yourself soothingly relaxed. Then close your eye. Maintain some form of attention at your forehead. Feel your forehead. Just feel. Just like you feel your hand on the floor, you feel your forehead. Use your mind to feel. If you can detect any tension, any stress within, you just soothingly relax them all. Relax. Relax, relax them all. Then you move your attention to your eye muscle. Do the same. Feel the eye muscle soothingly relax. If there's any tension, any stress within, you just relax, relax, relax them all. Then you feel your facial muscle. Do the same. Every strand of your facial muscle, feel that it is soothingly relaxed. If there is any tension, any tightness, or any stress within, you just silently relax, relax them all. Initially, maybe you are not skillful, that's why you can't really relax that much. So I will teach you another skillful means. You can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. Just visualize yourself radiating a radiant smile. The moment you can smile, you are relaxed. Otherwise, you cannot smile. Then from that smile, you start to radiate well-being and loving-kindness to yourself. You can repeat after me. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel your entire body and mind having this well-being and happiness within each and every cell within your entire being. You can repeat, may I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within your own body and mind, your entire being, each and every cell of it. Feel it soothingly, relax, having well-being, having wellness, having joy and happiness. Then you can continue to read it, this metta. You can recite, may this body and mind of mine too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, means no more problem, no more suffering. May it too be free from all harm and danger. May its mind state to be without any negativity, without any ill will or untrouble. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within your hearts. Then you can radiate this same metta or love, loving kindness to your loved ones. May my loved ones all to be well and happy, well and happy. Radiate from your heart towards them. You can visualize them radiating a radiant smile too. Then you radiate from your heart. May my loved ones to be well and happy, well and happy. May their mind states to be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May their body and mind to be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May their body and mind to be free from all harm and danger. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can read it to all beings within this vicinity. Oh, Subang Jaya, Suyang Sao. May all beings within this vicinity, known and unknown, seen and unseen, and all Dhamma friends, Kayanamitas, be well and happy, well and happy, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states to be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May their body and mind to be free of all harm and danger. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then we can relate this same metta to all beings. May all beings throughout the entire existence, all of Subang Jaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, our planet, Mother Earth, then the solar system, the galaxy, then the whole of this universe. May they all to be well and happy, well and happy, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states to be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now, you should be more calm and more peaceful with more well-being within your own mind. Then you come back to your facial muscle, you just feel, don't think, feel. Relax every part within. Feel it suddenly relax. Then you move your attention down to your neck, feel. Relax, shoulder, feel, relax, hand, feel, relax, back to shoulder. Then you move your attention to your heart or chest area. This is a very important location. You sweep it down to your heart. Just silence your mind, completely silent and feel. You can detect any vibration or heartbeat. You just stay there. Silence your mind and just stay. If you can't, then it's okay. You just relax every part of it. Just like how you feel your forehead and relax them. You feel your heart. If there's any stress, any tension, you just relax them. Feel it soothingly. Relax. Then after that, you move it down to your stomach. Feel. Relax. Abdomen, do the same. Feel. Relax. Don't think, just feel, relax. Then you sweep it down to your buttock, do the same. Feel, relax. any tension, any tightness, any stress within, you just feel it relax, relax and relax, soothingly relax. Your leg also same. Feel, relax. Then you can reverse the whole of this mind sweeping method from the leg upward. Feel, relax. Buttock, feel, relax. Abdomen, do the same. Feel, relax. Stomach, feel, relax. Heart, chest area, feel, relax every part. Then you move it on to your shoulder, hand back to shoulder, neck, facial muscle, do the same, feel and relax every part. Eye muscle, forehead, do the same. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. You want to repeat it one more round, it's up to you. But you feel that you are already peaceful and calm, then you can start to train your this mind. The mind that need to be trained is the thinking mind, the mundane mind. So after mind sweeping method, you are more calm, you are more peaceful. Now you can learn how to stabilize this silent mind, this peaceful mind, this so-called mindfulness or awareness within. So I will teach you another skillful mind called Anapanasati. Anapana is in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. So Anapanasati is mindfulness of in and out breath. And this training is very simple, very easy. So instead of feeling your forehead, you now feel your breathing. Maintain attention in front of your nostril, just silence your mind, feel. The moment you detect your breathing, the mind and the breathing move as one, aware. Then like the Buddha say, breathing in, aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. So when your mind and the breath move as one, it is called Anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath. You just train. Initially, when you are not skillful, you may find it a bit difficult. But if you are patient enough, every time this mind wanders off, which it will happen, and you can expect it to happen many, many times, patiently bring it back to the breathing. Then maintain this training until one day the Anapanasati stabilize by itself, come by itself. When this arises, your mind will be very different. It will be very peaceful because the mind that is in sati or mindfulness, it's very peaceful, very calm. It's only aware without thought. Then this calmness or tranquil mind will build up and it will develop the spiritual faculty or what they call inner peace, leading to inner well-being. Then you can feel the piti or the rapture, the spiritual calmness, the spiritual peace within. They call it the spiritual rapture. When this arises, your mind will be very calm and very peaceful and you like to meditate and your mindfulness is quite stable. Then you continue to relax deep into it. Allow this Anapanasati to continue. Allow the piti to continue. And as you relax deep into it, it becomes more and more refined, more and more peaceful. Piti will be transformed into what they call sukha. Sukha is spiritual bliss. It's not only calmness anymore. It becomes very, very blissful. And this state, you will experience it sooner or later. Then your mind becomes very different. Then with the inner peace, inner calmness, leading to inner well-being and the bliss, you will feel very good. But there is a danger of attachment to this state. But initially, don't worry, just allow it to be. Then continue to meditate, continue to develop this mindfulness of the in and out breath until this piti and sukha become very, very stable. Then as you relax deep into it, sukha will also transform into what they call pasati. Pasati is the tranquil mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind, the meditative state. So when paucity arises, the mind becomes very quiet, very still. There is no more thought. There is only paucity, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind. During this time, the mind is already in sati. So technically, you don't need any object of meditation. Even your anapanasati, the mindfulness of in and out breath, the object of breathing, the breath, you can actually relinquish. The mind will stay silent. Wherever you locate it, it becomes very sensitive. You can detect many, many things. Yeah. Even all the very fine inner vibration within your form and mind, your body. You can actually pick them up. Then later when you enter paucity, your breathing will transform from long breath into short breath, then later on, no breath, like you are not breathing. Very subtle, and finally, like no breathing. Don't panic. When that happens, it's a good sign. So I will allow you to train your mind, continue to develop the mindfulness training. And for those who already know how to meditate, you just silence your mind, relax, and just maintain awareness to understand how you function as a human being, how the sense door upon contact trigger of consciousness and its content. And when you are silent, you can see them very clearly, you can understand them very clearly. And all the essential teaching, like the dependent origination, dwelling, Noble Truth, the three evil roots, the five mental hindrance and spiritual faculty, seven factors of light, you will witness them all within your own form and mind. Then as you continue to relax and silent, you become more and more sensitive. And you have to stabilize this mind until it becomes a part of you. Until paucity is constantly with you, then all your action and movement as you come out of the meditation, that state of mind follow you. That is the training that you need to develop. Okay, now I will let you meditate. I will ring the bell maybe in about 10 minutes time. Okay. others still want to meditate, you can continue for the 7 hours slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, inner awareness that you have developed. This state of mind that you have trained is a very important state. And you have to bring forth this meditative state into your daily life. Whatever you do, you can be in this state of meditative inner peace, inner awareness, silent mind, the meditative mind. Then your meditation will progress very fast. You use this to cultivate noble evil path in daily life, to investigate, to contemplate, to reflect on the Dhamma, to cultivate the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths. The mind that is trained is heedful, aware, constantly aware, meditative. Following Dhammapada verse 23. The constantly meditative, ever mindful, and the steadfast one, they will realize the bond-free Nibbana. Means if you are heedful, you are destined for enlightenment. Okay, so now we will open up for second session, meditation reporting. Anybody who wants to report their meditation or ask any question related to the meditation and the Dhamma, you can. Okay, now we open it up. Anybody? Better make full use of the condition in the session. What about the two who are new? How you find? Were you sleepy? Oh, good. Then what happened to your mind state? Oh, relax. Oh, very good. So can you describe? You want to report what happened over the last 30 minutes or so? How you go through the session? Just report exactly what happened. How you start able to follow the instruction. Push it out. Just push it out. All the way. You can also relate to it, Oh, very good. So how was your mind state? Relax there. You feel more peaceful or not? More settled down or not? Oh, very good. When you feel relaxed, you will settle down. Your mind will settle down. And every time when you feel you relax, you don't think, what happens is it will decondition the heedless thinking, because in your daily life you think a lot. You have a lot of hindrance. So now you are given a chance to just feel relaxed. You don't think anymore. So what happens is our thinking, when it becomes habitual, is like a momentum. It will drive you to think and think and think and think non-stop. Then you find it very difficult not to think. Even when you sleep also, you don't have good or peaceful sleep unless you are very tired. So what happens is, this momentum, if let's say you can silence your mind, feel relaxed and silent, then this mind got no more condition to think. What happened? That momentum that drives you actually dissipate. No more momentum on itself. Then when you have long enough rest, long enough time of peace and calmness, then this mind, when you want to start to think again, it needs a stronger momentum to drive it. That's how you reverse it. Then when you reverse it already, this is the beginning of mental training. This mind sweeping method is very good because you can decide where you want to place your mind. You want it to be at the forehead, it will stay there. Then you will feel relaxed. Then as you move down, sweep down, you develop the ability to train your mind to be at the location you want it to be. That training is very important. Then when you stay there, because you feel, you don't think, you become peaceful very fast. So this one, in the office, or at home, if you are a housewife, wherever you got free time, you just sit somewhere on a chair or any couch, relax, silent, and just do this mind sweeping method. You become peaceful very fast. Then later on, when you know how to train your mind to develop anapanasati, then very fast you enter into the inner peace. And when you radiate metta, inner well-being comes with you. Because you wish your body and mind, may this body and mind of mine be well and happy, well. Every time you radiate this loving kindness, metta energy, your bodily cell will feel it because it's from your heart. The inner peace and inner well-being will come about. Because when you radiate, may this body and mind of mine, all of it, all the cells within, may be well and happy, well and happy. So all these cells, one by one, they will have this loving kindness energy. They will have this inner peace within and happiness within. So this positive energy will bring forth what they call very good mind state. That well-being will actually improve your what they call immune system. The cell that is happy is very healthy. Just like when you are very happy, you are very healthy. But when you are sad, miserable, depressed, all of your cells also affected by your thought energy. You can recall, in the internet, you have seen this research in there. They put up a test. They take sample of water and subject that water to many of these environments. Some in the mountains, nature's vibration. Then they realize when they put under the microscope, the crystal turn out to be very beautiful, very pure, very orderly, a lot of harmony. Then when they take that sample and put it in a noisy place, in the midst of traffic conditions, city, and all that, they realize the cell all heck hazard. Then when they subject to good vibration of chanting everything, the water crystal also turn out to be very beautiful, and they have different crystal in the church with the what they call Christian chanting and vibration or caroling, different type of formation. Buddhist temple different, Hindu temple different, but they are all very orderly, very peaceful, because these are all from religious loving kindness type of mind state that actually chant and the vibration goes in. So you now understand, if water can be so sensitive to all this vibration, you as a human being, you know that through science, how many percent of your body consists of water? How many percent? I was told 80. Even 70 or so is a lot. 80% is water. And you, every day you radiate that type of unhappy mind, unhappy vibration, you got a lot of fear, worry, anxiety, insecurity, unhappiness, depression. If all these vibrations go in, you know what happened to your cells? They also went cuckoo. That's why your immune system will go down. You will develop cancer, serious disease problem. That's why never, never allow your mind state to be like that. That's why you must radiate love and metta. Must have goodness of mind. Anger is an evil root. Fear is an evil root. Insecurity, anxiety, sadness, lamentation, sorrow, all these are evil roots. Negative state, negative energy field. What you need is positive energy field. Positive energy field come from good mind, happy mind. When you have a lot of good thought, wholesome thought, virtuous thought, you have a lot of positive energy. Like when you radiate love, when you rejoice, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. These are happy, positive vibration. Then when you have contentment, when you have gratitude, when you have a lot of generosity, sincerity, gentleness, pleasantness, happiness, joy, meditative peace and calm, your bodily cell all become very beautiful on yourself. Even your cancer cell will reverse, I tell you. You already enough metta into it. And your mind state will be very beautiful. So meditation has a lot of advantages, benefits. So this Sunday I will give a talk at Subang Jaya, morning, 10 o'clock. The title is The Benefits of Cultivating the Buddha Dharma. There is a lot of benefits. And you will feel like proud that you are associated with the Buddha Dharma as a Buddhist. A lot of people don't understand. What is a Buddhist? Why must you call yourself a Buddhist? And most Buddhists, they only go to temple once a week. Then they do all the things, puja, or say, then the fellowship. Then they don't know what other things to do. Sometimes, of course, they go retreat and all say. But if you want to be a true Buddhist, means the disciple of the Buddha, to be worthy of him, what must you do? What must you do? The minimum, what must you do? You must what? Louder. That one is what I used to tell you, but more important is what? Heed the advice of the Buddha. What is the advice of the Buddha? Dhammapada verse 183. Sabba pāpasa akaranang kusalesa upasampadan sacitta pariyottapanang etang buddhana sasana. He said, all Buddhas, when they come, they give the same advice. Well, this is the best advice. If you can follow his advice, you will have good life, beautiful life, wonderful life. And this will bring about the great transformation in your life. Because this is like, after you understand the secret of life, you will know how to do this. If you don't do this, your life will be haywire, upside down. The meaning is, I forgot to explain the meaning. Well, there are two who are new. Sabba is all, papasa are evil. Akaranang means all evil you have to avoid. Then, kusalesa upasambadan. Kusala is wholesomeness. Whatever wholesomeness, when there is condition to do, you should try to do. So, avoid all evil. Whatever wholesomeness, if there is condition to do, you must do. Goodness. Then the last one is citta. Citta is mind. Dapanang. You have to purify this mind to develop wisdom and understanding so that you can understand life, so that you will not be afflicted by what happened. The reality of life and existence. Your life will not become entangled when you confront certain reality. Without wisdom, living beings suffer, the Buddha said. So this advice is very important, you see. You can be very wealthy, very successful. But if you don't take care of karma, which is the nature's law that governs all of life and existence, 99.99% of each and everyone's life, by avoiding all evil and do good, you will become miserable. Because this comes from this right view with regards to this nature's law that governs all of life and existence. The Buddha said we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of our karma. You cannot blame anything else. for what happened to your life, for what arise within your life. If karma is so important, it plays such a great role, what must you do? Like just now you are answering that. Every time I tell you this, like you answer that. You must take care of karma. How you take care of karma? Follow the advice of the Buddha. That's all. Avoid all evil and do good. Then the next step is what? How do you avoid all evil? That is the cultivation. So to do that, you have to turn to that piece of paper that Sister Ellen and Padmasuri, they all helped prepare. A few of them. This one is a very good one. You see, this is Dhammapada verse 153 and 154. After the Bodhisattva became enlightened, he spoke this verse. That's why he had so much joy. This verse is very important. I read to you. On the extreme left, Dhammapada verse 153 and 154. You can off the wireless mic. Off it. Is it with you? Off it. Off already. Just off it. Thank you. The Buddha said, seeking but not finding the house builder, I travel through the rounds of countless births. See? For so many eons of birth and death, he couldn't find the house builder. And what is a house builder? In this context, what does it mean? You think it's a contractor who built your house. This is definitely not a contractor. He contractor, he know. But this house, you know what is it or not? This one is not your house. What is this? The house here means what? Form and mind. Form and mind is partially correct. The house is just the form. The house is just the form, the physical body, the physical form. That house, the consciousness, understand? That house your mind, understand? That's why he said every time he is born, he has to come, understand? Because this house, every time house the consciousness, understand? And because of that, he has to go through very painful existence. That's why the next sentence is, oh, painful is birth ever and again. Painful or not? Birth. Some of you say, no lah, relative happy life, got money, very successful. But do you know, no matter how successful and how much money you have, sooner or later you have to confront a lot of life reality that can make you very miserable. The Buddha said, wherever there is birth, there is old age, sickness and death. You cannot run. So when you face this reality of getting old, especially you can see some of your parents, your grandparents, some old people, old folks, and sometimes you yourself not young anymore. You are subject to all these problems of old age and so on. Your senses are failing you. Like Brother Teo Ching Yap, the eye off and on got problems. That one not so serious, very mild. There are other people, they got all these various type of sickness, disease, especially depression. Just now I received one phone call in the office, one of the Dhamma friends. He told me, a classmate or a friend of his just visited him and brought the wife. I think this one is not the classmate, must be hometown friend or don't know what. Very close friend. He said the wife is only 30 years old. He was in such serious depression. Yu Yi Zhen. Is it depression? You know what he told me or not? The husband very successful, you know, very rich, very wealthy, a lot of money. But the wife like that. You know. So he told me it's not because of money. You know. It's because something happened to her thought, you know, that make her like that. Then he said, can I bring her? Can you help? I said, I cannot help. I can only advise. I roughly, based on what you tell me, I can sense what happened. But I need to talk to that person, provided he wants to see me. Because I say you bring also no use, because they themselves must understand what is going on and willing to do it. But a lot of this thing is karmic, understand? Karmic negativity or offense. Karmic obstruction and karmic offense from the past. Then when they come and haunt you, you become afflicted. You will suffer like anything. And I said the only way to overcome all this is because she has been seeing all the psychiatrists, the doctor, taking all the medication, not only not helpful, become worse. And she was like a zombie just now, I said, when they were together. He said, very pitiful, so young, got so much money. That's enough. Then I said, the first thing they must understand is there is this nature's law, law of karma. You reap what you sow. Do good begets good, do evil begets evil. So first thing is to repent, ask for forgiveness. Then he attended my Thursday class before. Then he remembered, your chanting book at the back there, God, is it? I said, later on if she wants to really help herself, the husband also can help. Just do all those things. Then they got so much money, yeah? Make some donation, do some charity, then develop these merits, then start to change, keep their precepts, learn how to actually meditate a bit, then develop all the wholesomeness, the meritorious action, then after that invoke the power of merits. Ask for forgiveness, then break the coming obstruction, then invoke power of merits for causes and conditions to help her recover. And I can tell you, if they do it seriously, week by week they will see the result coming. And within maximum 3 months, she will fully recover. Because there are people who recover. Many out there recover. And I didn't do anything, because I don't do anything. You have to do it yourself. So it's not difficult. So like the Buddha said, oh, painful is birth ever and again. Because not only old age, sickness and death, these are very traumatic. Then the Buddha said, what happens if there is separation from your loved ones, from your possession, your wealth, your career, or all those things that you hold on to dearly? That's why your loved one and your possession, you love them so much, you hold on to them so much. But nature has a funny way of taking them away from you, understand? It can happen through untimely death, understand? Nature's disaster, accidents, negative. Or sometimes financial crisis, relationship failure, anything can trigger off. Then what happened? So suffering is a very, very serious type of problem in life. If you cannot understand all these, which are taught in the teaching, when you confront them, you will become miserable. You will become afflicted. You will become very sorrowful until you enter depression. So sorrow, lamentation, misery, these are very real happenings in life, and you can see them all over the world. That's why the Buddha said, there is this Four Noble Truths. When you understand, you become noble ones or enlightened ones. The first one is that there is a noble truth that explains clearly to you what suffering is. There are 8 realities of life and existence that all living beings know. Matter who you are, irregardless of whether how wealthy, how high a status you hold, or how powerful you may be. You have to confront these eight realities: birth, old age, sickness and death, separation from loved one and possession. You have to meet and confront people whom you don't like. And there are a lot of situations and conditions where things don't go your way. You cannot get what you want. And when your expectations are not met, you can become afflicted, miserable. Then he said, in short, if you deludedly cling and hold on to this so-called human body and mind of yours, thinking that this is real, this is what you are, you can become miserable. Suffering will be the result. So in this world, when you look at all this reality, you realize as a human being, without this understanding of the Buddha's teaching, your life is really very, very fragile. That's not. You are very, very vulnerable. That's all. You know why you are very vulnerable? Not? Any happening, one phone call comes, you become miserable. You can be in the midst of laughter, enjoying your dinner and all those things. One sad news, you are totally knocked up. Because in life, there are many things that can happen. So we need to take care of karma so that we will not have the condition to experience all this karmic negativity. If you don't harm people, you don't cheat, don't deceive, and don't do all those funny things to people, the law of karma is very fair. Nobody will do this to you. But whatever karmic negativity you do, it will be recorded under this law in nature. And when there is condition in whatever birth you take, whether now or the future, when there is condition, it will manifest. And you cannot run. That's why it's never worthwhile to violate this law, to go against this law. So law of karma is very important. So how you take care of karma? Here, the teaching is there. You look at the extreme right. You have to understand the essential dhammas, the Four Noble Truths, the five aggregates of form and mind. With delusion, it becomes grasping aggregate. Otherwise, they are pure aggregate for enlightened ones. Then you must understand this dependent origination or dwelling. Then what are the three evil roots, roots of all evil that can create negative karma? The so-called evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. Then the law of karma, that first right view, most important right view. Then the five spiritual faculties and the five hindrances of mind. This one I have explained just now. So these are the essential dhamma that you must understand and cultivate in order to develop the wisdom to confront all this reality, to break free. That's what the Buddha did as a bodhisattva. You look at the detailed explanation. The bodhisattva then had cultivated through countless lifetimes in search for this house builder, where he knew it's a big problem. If I don't find out who this house builder is, I can't free. I will continue to take birth. I will continue to suffer. I will continue to come back to samsara. You know what is samsara? Cycle of birth and death. They call it cycle, vicious cycle. You keep on coming back. In Mahayana, it's called Liu Tao Lun Hui. The cycle of birth and death of the six rhyme. The Mahayana condensed the 31 plane of existence into only six rhymes. The bottom five rhymes is the same as the 31 plane of existence. The human rhyme and the four woeful state of animal rhyme, demon rhyme, animal rhyme, beta rhyme, and hell rhyme. But their first rhyme up there, they call it the Tian Fa Jie, the heavenly rhyme. So the heavenly rhyme covers all the rest of the 31 plane. The Deva plane, the Brahma, means the form plane, and the formless rhyme, the Arupa, loka. So all this, they call it the heavenly realm, Tian Ba Jie. So it's the same. Samsara and the Liu Tao Lun Hui is the same. So the Buddha said, seeking but not finding the house builder, I travel through the rounds of countless birth, means eons and eons of repeated birth. So is it all painful is birth ever and again. Repeated birth leads to endless suffering or dukkha. Because wherever there is birth, the reality of life and existence arises, anasana. Always sickness and death, separation. When you're with people whom you don't like and when you cannot get what you want. Then through your delusion, you grasp at this fire, create a form of mind. And this brings about tremendous suffering when you don't have the understanding. That's why without the teaching, living beings are very, very miserable. Then he said, house builder. House is actually the form within the five aggregate of form and mind. Yeah? Although here Alan put five aggregate of form and mind is part of it. But the house refer to the physical body that house the consciousness. Okay? Then builder. Who built this house? What condition you to take repeated birth? The Buddha found the answer as what? Huh? That's why in the teaching you always heard this word craving. Craving that conditions becoming and birth, which propel beings to tumble through samsara mindlessly and heedlessly. So craving is the main culprit. Craving, there are three types of craving. What are the three? Huh? What are the three? Sensual craving. That one is called Kama Tanha. K-A-M-A, not K-A-R. Kama Tanha. Sensual craving. Craving for the senses. So you have sensual craving, your sixth sense door. Every time you react, you arise sensual desire. Or you don't like, you reject it, the ill will arise. So these are what they call positive and negative craving. They call it karma tanha, sensual craving, positive and negative. So when you have this craving, you keep on coming back. You cannot escape. Your mind will continue to react. There is no equanimity. There is no wisdom. The mind cannot cease, cannot end. It will take repeated birth through ignorance and delusion. Then you got the second one is what? Bhava tanha, craving to be. To become something, to become somebody, to become the king, or to become the CEO of a company, or to become the president of the society. Then in the career line also you see people fighting for posts, very ambitious to become the MD, the CEO, the CEO. Right? After they reach there, they realize it's hot seat. What happened? They crave not to be. Then from Bhava Tanha become Vibhava Tanha. Even this Jack Ma, you know Alibaba, the richest man in China. He said before he become the richest man in China as a teacher, he think back now, he was very happy. Life was very simple. Now they interview him, I say, he is miserable after he become the richest man in China. He got no peace. He got so much thing to do and so much problem. So much thing to resolve. So when you don't have contentment and when you don't understand how to use your wealth, you can have headache too. Too much money is also a problem. We have too much money, come with too much responsibility. Because you are so concerned with so many things. So life is like that. If you want to make it simple, it can be pretty simple. But if you don't know how to make it simple, it can be pretty confusing. And brings about a lot of suffering and misery. So these are the three types of craving. And this craving is born of ignorance, delusion. So that's why the cause of suffering is actually ignorance. That condition self-delusion. That condition craving. Without self-delusion and ignorance, there is no craving. So the Buddha knew craving, that condition becoming at birth, which propel beings to tumble through samsara mindlessly and heedlessly. So you need to meditate. So he said under the Dhammapada verse, house builder, you have been seen. Now he know who the house builder is. Via meditation through the direct seeing of condition arising. How delusion or ignorance, condition delusion, delusion condition craving, craving condition grasping, grasping condition becoming, then becoming condition birth. Hence arise the whole mess of suffering. So craving is the culprit. So he knew. Craving will not condition future rebirth, since it has been completely abandoned. Means he has developed the wisdom, penetrated it, no more deluded. He will not crave and hold on to anything anymore. That's why the mind can cease. Then he said, you shall not build the house again. Then your rafter has been broken down. Your ridge pole has been demolished or shattered too. Then the Buddha said his mind has attained the unconditioned nirvana and reached the end of every kind of craving. Then you look at the asterisk, the note below. The ridge pole is the top main support of the root truss, and the rafters are the bearer beams, sub main support spanning from the ridge pole to the base plate of the root truss, needed to support the battens, which are nailed, which are needed to hold the roof tiles, etc. So this is just an analogy, because the house got a roof with the ridge pole and the rafter. So this will make you understand, because the Buddha used this as an analogy. So he said, via perfection of virtue and purification of mind, to arise the appropriate right thought, right action, and right speeches, he was able to actually do away with craving. Then ignorance, which is the ridge pole, the main support, the top pole, the first of the 12 dependent origination link, he has already severed. So this fetter is gone, the last of the 10 fetters. We are perfection of wisdom, completely rooting out ignorance. That's why he said Nibbana realized, ending of all craving and ignorance. So this one, once you are able to actually develop that understanding, your mind will liberate and you are free. Then aspiration to root out ignorance and defilement are included in the personal puja and aspiration. Our chanting book. You look, read at the back. If you invoke the power of aspiration, born of your merits, that's why you invoke the power of offering, power of your cultivation, your wholesomeness, your generosity, all of your goodness. Maybe next week I will do the... next week no class. When Sui An come back, we will do the Mangala Sutta on blessing. It will help you all a lot. So that you understand the teaching more and more clearly. These are the way to actually speed up your cultivation. Because if you don't make aspiration by invoking your merits, your wholesomeness, because these are nature's law, it will actually arise the causes and conditions to help you. You don't have to do anything. So this one will do away with a lot of wrong view and mistake that can arise during cultivation as well. Everything also you got to go and do research and find out and go and cultivate, I tell you, you sure go wrong. Haywire. You don't know what Nibbana is. You are actually clueless as how to cultivate. And everything you depend on is the text, what people interpret and tell you. And you also don't know whether that person who tell you really penetrate or not, has realized or not. So he is also not yet realized the blind leading the blind where you end up. Not only Holland, you go everywhere. Samsara. So all this, you need to develop understanding. Then the last one is, also in our puja aspiration, we make this determination to strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. These are very important. Then to diligently cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the born free nibbana. This is what the Noble Eightfold Path is all about. Understand that? So to summarize, the cultivation is very easy and very simple when you understand. It only involves the key, few essential dhamma. Understand it. Develop the understanding of it. There are three phases of dhamma, remember? First phase is what? Pariyatti, learning of the doctrine, the teaching, to understand what the Buddha teach. So you just go into the essential dhamma and develop the understanding, starting from the Four Noble Truths. Well, this is the essence of his teaching. All his other teachings spin off from this Four Noble Truths. And these Four Noble Truths are like the secret of life. When you understand this truth, you will understand life. You will know how to free and liberate. Because this Four Noble Truth is very unique, very, very powerful. That's why it's called Noble Truth, not ordinary truth. Truth that can make you enlightened one or noble ones when you penetrate them. And this Four Noble Truth, the first time I heard about it in 1971, I got no more doubt. I straight away I knew. Although that was the first time I read the Four Noble Truth. But the moment I read the Four Noble Truth, I straight away understand, this is it. No need to search anymore. Nobody can do that. Even when, at that time I tell myself, even if I were to become enlightened, I cannot summarize all of my understanding into just Four Noble Truths, so beautiful. Because I saw in that Four Noble Truths, all of life, the mundane and the supramundane, they are all summarized inside that Four Noble Truths. Nobody can do that, I tell you. That's why I realized, this is it. No need to say. I've been searching for quite a while, actually. I couldn't really find anything initially, because the funny thing is, I saw my mother doing all those Chinese rite and ritual, pray to deity, can bargain with the deva. I offer you, I slaughter chicken, all those things. You gave me all these good wishes. you protect our family, you help my children to recover from sickness or do well in the exam or thing, then I will offer you more. I will slaughter more chicken and buy more fruits and all. Then I say, wow, this type of religion can negotiate one. I don't want to understand. I don't want to look at it at all. Because I cannot accept things that are like done improperly. Understand? But I pity my mother because she was brought up in that way. Then one day in 1971, I came across this book, Chief Reverend K. Sridhamananda, the first book, What Buddhists Believe. The first chapter I read, he said all those things that my mother do, the Chinese culture, rite and ritual, they got nothing to do with the Dhamma. Oh, I was so happy. I said I never really understood that until I read that book. Then I start to look at the Buddhist teaching. Otherwise, I don't want to look at it. Because if I tell myself, if you go and put chopstick and do all those funny things, and if that is religion, it's too bad. I cannot understand. I cannot accept. So I didn't really go into Buddhism until I went to all the other religions. As student, in Form 5, we went to all the places. Christianity, Islam, Baha'i, Hinduism, all sorts of, even the whatever. And they cannot answer our question. Until finally, I saw that book. Then I was full of joy. Then the moment I saw the Four Noble Truths, that's it. I knew, no need to search. It's like in the past, I have understood this truth before. So straight away, I went into it, then I penetrated, then the condition just arise, and many things just happen after that, continue to happen. So what I want to summarize is, the Four Noble Truths is key. Understand this Four Noble Truths. The first Noble Truth path factor is right view. So the next note that will come out is what Alan has prepared, I think will be very helpful. And the right view is very important for cultivation. The first path factor, the Buddha put samadhi, right view. If you don't have that, you cannot cultivate. You will sure go wrong. The noble evil path is like that. If your view is wrong, all the other path factor will go wrong. Because right view condition, right thought, anasana, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. If your views are wrong, all of your subsequent path factor is all wrong. So you can say bye-bye to your cultivation. So that's why right view is very important. And the first one is law of karma, already so powerful, the advice of the Buddha came from there. Then the second one is law of the mind. You must understand how your mind functions. And law of the mind, we study dependent origination. The Buddha taught us very clearly. Then the third one is Dhamma Niyama, law of the Dhamma, order of truth. And the most important truth is the Four Noble Truths. That's why law of karma, law of the mind, Chitta Niyama, Karma Niyama, Chitta Niyama, and Dhamma Niyama. These three spiritual laws, you understand life. They govern all of life and existence. And the teaching is just so simple. When you understand, it's so simple, then you will penetrate. Okay? So we finish this. So now we still got a bit of time. We get Ng B to share. Or Lady, you want to ask something? Clinging is the grasping. Five aggregate, last time I explained earlier, the two aspects. Grasping. Clinging is grasping. Clinging. You grasp and cling to this five aggregate form of mind, thinking is you. Understand? The two aspects, you remember? Of the human being. That's why the next book that will come out is very, very important. I almost finished here. I left with the last two pages. You all should thank Padmasuri. She actually listened to the Thursday class, 15 May 2014, that talk. I explained initially about the pre-trip briefing. We're supposed to go Taiwan, I think, end of the month, end of May. So pre-trip briefing, then followed by that talk, I promised you all last time. Yeah, you all want to know the mystery of who are you, what are you, remember? Inside there, I explained very clearly what this five aggregate of form and mind are, the two aspects. Then I connect to the karmic nature, the spiritual nature, and to let you understand how you come. And when you understand who you are, what you are, and how you come, then you will know how to return, understand? Then you will know how to cultivate. Otherwise, you really got no clue at all. And that one is very beautiful, very detailed. If first time he listened, I think she has a lot of joy. She keep on doing the transcript. Then she sent to me, but I didn't get it. I don't know what happened to her email. Maybe meant to be, not time yet. Then recently went to Ameisana. Out of the blue, she asked me, Ratio, you received this transcript I sent to you. I said, what is it? He said, the title, who are you, what are you? I said, can you send me again? Then he sent again. Then I saw, I said, this is so good. Then I went and did the edit. It's almost finished. And once that one come out, I tell you, you will understand a lot more. Then the most important is the Heart Sutta compilation, I tell you. That one, you have to give me time. I only finished 20 chapters, another 20 chapters to go. But once that one come out, I tell you, you will understand it very, very clearly and very deeply. And I believe that is the book that we need before the Cameron Highland retreat. And with that, the retreat will be very different. Because all of the important key teaching and the understanding that I have during the almost two years of Heart Sutta sharing at Wu Ping Ching Sir, all the important understanding are already documented inside there, because the condition arise during that time. And when I went through the transcript and the notes, I don't believe what I saw. I said, why did I say all these things? Because it's not easy for people to understand at that time. But by now you can understand already. A lot of you can understand, because somehow the consciousness moved very fast this year. Very, very fast. And next year is going to be faster. A lot more faster. A lot of you will actually transform very fast and come to understand who you are, what you are. Even at Ume San, I was actually very happy, but in a way quite surprised. One of the Kayamita came and discussed with me, suddenly connect. And she knew, she can understand now who she was, very likely what she was. And she also walked this path, you can tell me like that. That's why I tell you, you don't underestimate who you are. You never know. When the time comes, when you connect, you move very fast. Like Song, very fast. He's in Burma now. When he come back, he will have a lot more story to share. That's why Dhamma is not what you think. Sometimes you think, I saw someone, I very can. People got all this experience. Oh, they can understand so far. I'm nothing. Nothing one is the best. Nothing one, very fast. You got too much thing, cannot. Because the cup is full. You got nothing one. You listen attentively. But you don't look down upon yourself. Like I told Sung. Sometimes we got karmic obstruction. You ask for forgiveness, repentant. Then you will move. Really, now you understand. It's the five aggregate of form and mind, the two aspects. First aspect, as a human being, you have a physical body, then you have a consciousness that has the other aggregate of feeling, perception, activity of mind, and consciousness. The second aspect is the mental five aggregate. Every moment of sense experience, that consciousness with its content become the thought, and the thought is the five aggregate of form and mind. The external form enters the mind through the perception. So that is the mental five aggregate. That is what the dependent origination is talking about. The first aspect is just for you to understand who you are, what you are. And that all these five aggregate, they are empty, condition arising, causal phenomena, not you. That's why Heart Sutta explained it very clearly. Okay, we better give be enough time to share the nun experience as a what they call ordained nun, which is very wholesome. How long was it, Ingvi? 2 weeks? Shorter?
No, shorter. 9 nights only.
Oh, 9 nights.
10 days, 9 nights.
Oh, okay. Good enough, huh?
No, not
enough.
Not long enough. Wow.
Okay, that is a good one. Never mind, you share whatever you have. We would like to actually listen. It can give a lot of faith to people. Okay, you start.
Good evening, dear Brother Teo and Mrs. Teo, and all my Kalyanamita. This first Buddhist Nuns Novitiate Program started from 7 November to 16 November. Friday night we check in, and Sunday evening we went home as a lay back to normal life.
Yeah.
So we had this. Basically, I break into four. One is the shaving ceremony.
Okay.
The second one is going fort ceremony. Yeah. They call Pabaja.
Yeah.
And then the arms round. And then returning to lay preceptor, the five preceptor. And five precepts. I was very surprised that there were many, many young ladies who has gone forth for this short term or temporary Buddhist nuns
ordination.
I think the youngest was 26 years old.
Oh, very young. just graduate not long.
Some are still pursuing the PhD in mindfulness because she took up psychology in Singapore. And 26 of us taking up the ropes temporary. 24 of us. 6 were 8 preceptors. Okay. This shaving ceremony. Okay. All of us are. All the 24 of us were very determined. No second thought.
Very good.
When we went for the shaving, most of us are very happy. We felt very light after the shaving.
Very good.
If you want to see, I can let you see.
Yeah, sadhu. Very good. Yeah, sadhu. Sadhu.
Very light and then very. Like about 3000
very good.
So, and then when we clean up the rooms of Vihara or the meditation hall, very easy. Not much long hair like usual yogi
very good.
Very fast and easy.
Then during the ordination shaving ceremony, did they explain to you the significance of the shaving? The first blade is what? The first shave is for what?
They don't do so detailed.
Oh, they don't do like the Mahayana.
They just ask us to contemplate on the
five
kilesa.
Yeah, the five part of the 32 part.
Kesa, loma, naka, danta.
That is the standard Theravada.
The five
of contemplation. Yes.
The head hair, body hair.
Correct.
Nails. Our teeth. And our skin.
Yes,
and then reverse skin, our teeth, nails and body hair and head hair.
Okay.
They ask us, at first the preceptor teacher just snap a bit, put on our hand, and we hold on it and contemplate on the hair. All these are themselves. Not belong to us at all. On contemplation on these defilements. And then when we were shaved after that, we just changed into the white attire. And then we were...
The robe.
Not yet robes.
Not yet robes.
We had to take the upasika white attire first.
White attire first, yes.
In white first. Then we took the eight precept. After that, come to this Pabaja going forth ceremony.
We
took the robes.
That is the official ordination where you take the robe.
This Pabaja... ceremony, we request the ropes from our sponsor or whoever, our spouse or immediate family members, or even if you don't have, they can ask your friends or whoever were there. And I sense that I felt that this request for ropes from our family members is a kind of, because they represent our parents, father and mother. First is mother and then father. Then we speak out on mother's and father's virtues. How our mother carry us in 10 months pregnancy, and how our father took care of us like a royalty and very pampered us.
How they sacrifice for you.
How they sacrifice. When we just sang these two sentences and I was holding the mic, I think I made majority of them cry.
I don't know who were there.
Karen, you were there?
Yeah. Because of your gratitude towards your parents. That gratitude is very, very difficult to repay. And according to one of the sutta in Mahayana, the only way to repay your parents is what? No, even you carry them for 100 years, you cannot repay.
Bring them to the Buddha's teaching.
Bring them to the Buddha's teaching, the Dhamma. That's the only way to repay. Because that one is the highest. Because you cannot measure by materialistic. Because that sacrifice is beyond money value. Understand? Whatever goodness you do, you cannot match. Because that is parental love. They are sacrifice for you. They strive for you. The best they give to you. They got no food also, they give to you. My parents also like that one. My father used to tell my mother, we all no food, never mind. The children must have food. Then don't disturb them. Let them sleep. There was one time a robber came into the house when I was very young. Took away my father's safe. And my father very cruel. He said, never mind, let the children sleep. Don't go and call them. Wait for the police to come. Actually, it was meant to be. That time I was very young. But I heard everything because I didn't really sleep. Then it was meant to be, that robbery. You know what happened? Everything they took, the whole safe. So our document busted everything inside there. I see everything inside there. My father keep in the safe. So of course, after police report, 1 week later only, somebody found it thrown in a nearby a river place. But luckily, the document all intact, not wet. The only thing missing was my red IC. Very funny. I was born before 1957, independent. I was in the Kedah state, not one of the province, Wellesley, Penang, or Malacca, or Singapore. So no automatic citizenship. My parents that time not citizen, so I was given red IC. And because of that robbery, my father got no choice. Go and renew my IC. Because that time they got citizenship already. So they have to make sumpah that they are my parents. And because they got citizenship, I also Article 15, bracket 3, get a blue IC because of that. Luckily, that robbery happened. That's why your karma is very important. Because after Form 6, I got classmates who are Indian national. Did very well also. Supposed to enter Maxon. Because red IC, not given a place. Rejected. If I read IC, I think I cannot enter MU also. I was so lucky, That's why I asked him, I said, what happened? He said, don't know, can go. He said, read IC, don't want to let me go, He go and protest and check, Why other people, result not so good also when he, see? So, karma, very good. Funny, of all the documents he left behind everything except my read IC. But the money all gone, of course. So when your karma is very good, things will just happen for you. So it's meant to be. Very good, continue. another 4 minutes. Okay, English, continue.
So after that, we were taught how to wear ropes. It's really not easy task to put on the ropes correctly and securely.
Correct.
Very tough.
Yeah.
But that's one of the my main reasons of going for this program. Yeah, I want to learn how to wear ropes.
Yeah.
So at last, after...
It's not easy one, I know.
After 9 days, we
managed to do it. I saw the monk did it. You have to be very, very mindful when you have to practice it.
Same. It's a one size fit all.
Yeah.
Whether you're small size, big size, fat, thin, the same rope.
I saw a lot of the Samanera in Brickfield last time. You pity that guy. Many of them. The rope keep on dropping off.
Because we have a long sleeve shirt inside.
Another sleeve inside. Because you got 3 pieces or 4 pieces, I think. In a row. It's okay. Very good experience. Continue.
And then we were taught. There were 3 ways to wear ropes. One is they call it forest style. Forest style is where it's go for formality, go for chanting, meditation, Dhamma class, all must wear this forest style.
Yeah.
Have to roll. You must hold with your left hand something snug on your left. You must always hold it. Only one hand is free.
Yeah.
The other style is they call Sri Lankan style. Is that one quite easy? You just pick like that.
Yeah.
You need to roll, and that is very easy. That one within half a minute can done.
Yeah.
The third type is the same as forest style, but you don't bare your left, your right shoulder. You cover both shoulder and roll it where we wore it for pinapat.
Ah, good.
We cover the arms bow all inside, everything inside.
Yeah.
That's the third way. Mm. And we were taught how to handle arms bow also.
Very good.
How to contemplate on arms foot.
Ah, that one very important. No?
Yeah.
That's why the clang talk next Friday, Sabha Asava Sutta, cover that. How to reflect and contemplate on the four requisites.
We will talk on that, called Pachavikana.
Yeah.
The four requisites, the first one is ropes, how to contemplate on using the ropes.
Yeah.
Second one is how to contemplate food, on the arms foot. The third one is on dwelling.
Yeah,
dwelling.
Then medicine.
Feeling not well, how we make use of this requisite of medicine to support us.
Yeah, very important.
After this is arms round already.
Yeah.
Arms round, so we walk barefooted from SJBA to SS40 Market and walk back.
Okay.
So the journey is quite okay after the practice in Wat Na Long.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah.
After
there
practice,
the stone are more sharp in Wat Na Long.
Yeah, Wat Na Long more sharp. And then I had my second practice at Maha Mongkol Qixiang Tao there.
So you all walk barefooted,
Yes.
Very good.
But for those diabetic patients, they have to wear slippers.
Yeah, slipper.
A lot of us shared that we really felt the joy of receiving instead of giving.
Yeah,
the receiving is not easy to receive
not easy,
also.
Not easy, yeah.
When we walk and then we receive, we really see the joy of them, even small kids or to old people, they give willingly, happily, and then so generously they give away. When we receive also, we felt very strong, their compassion and generosity.
Yeah.
So, we just walk mindfully.
Yeah. The other thing that you will come to understand is, when you know you are worthy of receiving, there is a lot of joy inside. A lot of joy inside. Because you have kept your precepts. You have understood what this ordination is all about. And you have done it accordingly. All these are your virtue, that will make you worthy of offering. And these are very wholesome. And that joy is very different. Very different. That's why later on, as you cultivate, as you develop the understanding, when you penetrate, you will understand what is very different. Then you can see a lot of things that is happening to the world. Then those who know how to do, you already not only have the joy, you send your pure wish. You rejoice and you send your pure wish, and they receive without them knowing it. That's why the mind of the cultivator is very different, and the mind of the awakened one is also very, very different. You can never fathom what I tell you. And the thing that they do, that's why they can be blessing to all. And living beings can never fathom and understand. But it's very beautiful. More and more, you all will understand. Continue.
Then I when I contemplate back, I think I understand a little bit deeper on how this mutual dependency between the Sangha and the
The symbiosis relationship that the Buddha planned under that so-called Sangha lineage. Because it's to benefit the lay people and also at the same time to support the Sangha. So this type of relationship is very important. And if it's done with understanding, it brings forth a lot of wholesomeness, a lot of goodness. very good, sadhu.
Interdependent.
Yeah, interdependent.
And then, I would like to share this in the novitiate program
good.
Book. It said here, in the Mahaparinibbana Sutta, the Buddha spoke to the Mara, the evil one, soon after his enlightenment. I shall not come to my final passing away, Mara, until my bhikkhus and bhikkhunis, laymen and laywomen, have come to be true disciples, wise, well-disciplined, apt and learned, preservers of the Dhamma, living according to the Dhamma, abiding by appropriate conduct, and having learned the Master's word, are able to expound it, preach it, proclaim it, establish it, reveal it, explain it in detail, and make it clear. Until when adverse opinions arise, they shall be able to refute them thoroughly and well, and to preach this convincing and liberating Dhamma.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Very good.
So, in a way, we were taught that this fourfold constitute the Sangha, that is the bhikkhu, bhikkhunis, laymen, male lay disciples, and female lay disciples. This fourfold make up of Sangha. It is very important that, having followed the Noble Eightfold Path and penetrated the links of dependent origination, I explain them to the bhikkhus, the bhikkhunis, the male lay followers, and the female lay followers, so that this spiritual life has become successful and prosperous, extended, popular, widespread, well proclaimed among gods and humans.
At that time, sadhu, sadhu. At that time, you know what happened or not, when the Buddha, before his parinibbana, all these beings on the higher realms, they all rejoice, but of course some of them still have attachment and craving like Ananda, they still cry. In fact, a lot of the bhikkhu there still cry. But those who already have the Dhamma, they understood what the Buddha meant. And that Dhamma during that time, really, there is the golden age, understand? At the pinnacle. But too bad. Over the last 2,000 whole years, a lot of things has gone wrong. Now it's so difficult to receive the true teaching, the true understanding of the teaching. But whatever that has been kept behind, especially Theravada's authentic Pali chanting, the Pali word, they are very authentic, still very authentic. But the interpretation of it, the understanding of it, over the years is gone. Gone. Very difficult to come by. So anyway, we have to accord and follow whatever that arises. So we should be very contented that we can be born during the era of the Sasana, where all this teaching is still around. That's why your karma decides, not you. So take care of karma. Okay, very good. English.
A little bit more.
No problem.
After we take back our, observe our five precepts back to our lay person's attire.
Revert back to the lady.
And then everybody has gone back, and then a few, two or three of us had a small
sharing.
Or chance, not sharing, oh, not really okay. sharing, a bit of chance to help this Venerable Su Mangala. I don't know how many of you know Venerable Su Mangala. She gave me an advice. She said, it's not, to be nun is not that you wanted to be a nun. It's not proper. It's not to be wanted. There's a desire. It's best that you, if the condition is not there, it's best that you be the nun in your heart. Not really you have to go out to be a nun or wanted to be a nun. Your heart can be trained to be a nun.
Sadhu.
So I appreciate that remark very much. And then
sadhu, very good.
She will be setting up a society, I think, very soon for nuns program, nuns nunnery, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
so that hopefully the nunnery will be built in Malaysia.
Oh, sadhu, very good.
Okay, thank you.
Sadhu, very good. The last sharing by Ingvi is very interesting. I got one teacher also tell me the same thing. Achayantra, I remember. He said, the monk, he said, what constitutes a monk? He said, to be a true monk, you must have that quality inside your heart, understand not? If it's because of the robe you wear, you become monk, then if I put the robe around the tree also become monk. Oh, that one was very meaningful. Oh yeah, it's not the robe that cover that physical form that make you a monk. To be worthy, to be a bhikkhu, you not only must have the precepts well taken, you must cultivate, and you must develop the understanding so that you are worthy of offering respect, hospitality, and give. Otherwise, you cannot receive all these things. Understand? You are not worthy. Yeah. Then, if you really want to form part of the Aryan Sangha, the Triple Gem, you must strive on with heedfulness until you awaken. Yeah. And the understanding you will know. That's why end of the day is not the physical that you put on. It's your heart. If your heart has the quality, you are among wherever you are. You are the Sangha. You represent the Aryan Sangha. So with that, I think we end. Okay, thank you. So much. We rejoice. Sadhu. We thank Ingvi for the good sharing. So now I will tong. This one very useful. No? I think Sri Andi or Bayon. Oh, the vibration very good. Last time I also don't know. First time I tried at home, I thought my hit hard. No, then like Suyan that hit, the vibration not so good. But when you just hit with the appropriate strength, the sound, the vibration, the re-vibration is very beautiful. Because this one, the weight is just nice. That's why everything is middle palm, asana, not too hard, not too soft. Okay, good. So now we will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits. Then we can end. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata cha pumata devanaka mahindika punyang tang anamoditwa chirang rakantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power share these merits and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan Sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to departed ones and those who can receive them. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let these merits accrue to our departed relatives and those who can receive them, and may they all to be well and happy always. Okay, now we will invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo asatakalena sasa sampati hetu cha to bhavatu loko cha bhavatu dhammiko. May the rainfall in due season, may there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers, be righteous. Okay, we will now do the sharing, the aspiration. Ikmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo otu yawa nivana patia. By the grace of this merit that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you can pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Then you can invoke whatever aspiration you want.
Thank you. Who is that?
Oh, I see.